This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to a new episode of In the Light of the Sahaba. The companions whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and blessed to have the companionship and to be in the presence of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Every single one of the companions has a tale to tell, and every single one of them has a story that we can extract benefits from, inshaAllah ta'ala. In this episode, we will go through the beautiful story of Salama radiallahu anha, whose name was Hind bint Abi Umayyah radiallahu anha. Now the story goes right back to the beginning of the call of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, when he first received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there were only a few companions who actually accepted Islam. From those few individuals was Salama and her husband, Abu Salama, and their one son. Now through the time that they lived in Mecca, they went through a very, very difficult time where they were persecuted and they were oppressed just for saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with iman, and they persevered and struggled and strived with their Islam in Mecca. After a short while, it became very difficult for the Muslims to live in Mecca. Therefore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted them, or some of the companions, to make hijrah, that they would leave Mecca and that they would go to a land called Habasha, which is modern-day Abyssinia. Abu Salama and Salama with their son, they made that great journey, subhanallah, to leave Mecca, to leave their home, and to reside in the new land, Abyssinia, whose leader was known to be just and fair, and Najashi, who later on embraced Islam and became a great Muslim, alhamdulillah. So Abu Salama and Salama, they lived there in Habasha for a while. After a short while, they heard that the situation in Mecca had somewhat improved, and that the Muslims were then able to practice their Islam more freely. So Abu Salama and Salama with their young child, they returned to Mecca. However, only to find that subhanAllah, the situation was even worse than it was before. Abu Salama and Salama were a very famous family, and they were known to be a very strong family. In fact, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu was known to be a very noble husband, and that they had very, very good etiquettes with one another. The family of Salama and Abu Salama are a beautiful example for us as Muslims to look up to, that we should try to emulate their example in being strong Muslims and compassionate and loving and merciful to one another. So while in Mecca, they were unable to persist and to practice their Islam freely. So again, the Prophet ﷺ permitted the Muslims on a whole to make the great hijrah from Mecca all the way to Al-Medina. So the Muslims one by one began gathering their belongings, gathering their possessions to leave their home to go and live in a new land. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu, they had one ride, began filling his ride with their belongings and their clothes and possessions. And then they were going to leave Mecca to go to Al-Madinah. Upon leaving the tribe which Salama belonged to, they saw her leaving and they stopped them all and said, "Where are you all going? This woman belongs to our tribe and we will not let her go. She is one of our daughters. You can go with your son, but she stays here." And they said this forcibly without no choice or discussion in the matter. Then another tribe which belonged, or Abu Salama belonged to, they said, "You will not take this young boy. This young boy, Salama, he belongs to our tribe. Abu Salama, you are an old man, you can leave." Abu Salama radiallahu anhu had no choice but to leave Mecca and make the hijrah on his own. And in just a few moments after the family all being together with all of their possessions, subhanallah, they were all split up and they were all in different places. Salama kept almost as a prisoner by her tribe, Banu Makhzum, and the child, Salama, who was kept by the tribe of Abdul Asad, and of course, Abu Salama was alone in Medina. Salama, subhanallah, radiallahu anha, every day she used to go to the spot where they were all split up. And this went on for a very, very long time, subhanallah. Until one of the people who belonged to one of the sub-tribes of the Makhzumi tribe saw Salama in a very bad way. So he said to the tribe, this individual, "Why don't you just let her go to her husband? You can see that she's very poorly, she's very depressed, she's very down. What do you gain from this? Just let her go. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softened their hearts. And eventually they agreed that Salama could leave Mecca and go to Al-Madinah. But then the question is, how could Salama leave her son, who was with the other tribe of Abdul Asad, and leave her son? Yes, she can go to her husband, but leaving her son was not an option. So they went to the tribe and spoke to them as well, and said, would you not leave this young boy? Let him go with his mother and go on this journey. What do you benefit from keeping him here away from his father and splitting up the family? Again, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softened their hearts, opened their hearts until they gave permission. So Salama radiallahu anha took her son and whatever belongings they had, and they left Mecca. Just as they left on the outskirts of Mecca, they bumped into an individual in an area called Tan'im. And his name was Uthman ibn Talha. In the 8th year, Uthman ibn Talha embraced Islam. And in fact, it is his tribe who are the custodians of the key to the Kaaba. Uthman ibn Talha said to Salama and her son, where are you going? She replied, we are making the hijrah and we are going to live in Al-Medina. He replied to her and said, I will not allow you to travel alone. It is a 2-week journey in the hot desert for you to go alone. I will take you, and when I will drop you off at Al-Medina, I will return. Salama radiallahu anha, she said that Uthman ibn Talha, even though he was a non-Muslim at this time, was a very noble man. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him later to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So upon arrival in Al-Medina, Uthman ibn Talha, he left Salama to go and meet with her family. Alhamdulillah, after years being apart, Salama and Abu Salama and their son were reunited. Alhamdulillah. And through the next couple of years, they had more children. Walillahil hamd. As we know during the seerah, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there were a number of battles. And Abu Salama participated in the Battle of Badr, as he did participate in the Battle of Uhud. However, during the Battle of Uhud, he was injured. And subhanallah, he was quite severely injured and was unable to leave the home. Salama radiallahu anha went to visit her husband and was with him all the time. One of the companions came to Salama and said, ya Salama, I'm going to teach you a dua that you should say. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khluf li khayrun minha. That, oh Allah, give me a reward during this calamity. Subhanallah, her husband is in a very bad state. And grant me something which is better in the future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that Abu Salama radiallahu anhu would pass away due to his injuries. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and made a dua for Abu Salama by saying, Allahumma ghfir li Abi Salama. Oh Allah, forgive Abu Salama. Subhanallah, Salama with 4 children was all alone in Al-Madinah. What a sacrifice she had made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was severely testing her. It was the known custom not to leave a woman alone. Therefore, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he came and he proposed to Salama, but she refused. And then Umar radiallahu anhu proposed, and likewise, she said no. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to Salama. Salama radiallahu anhu, he said, yeah, O Messenger of Allah, I have 3 things that I want to mention to you. Number 1 is that I am a very jealous person. And number 2 is that I am very old in age. And number 3 is that I have many children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as for the first one concerning your jealousy, then I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he removes that. As for your age, then I am older than you. And as for your children, then they are children that belong to Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon this, they married, walillahil hamd. And the title that she was given, Salama, she was now called al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. Subhanallah, what a great title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to her. And if we look back the dua that she made, O Allah, grant me a reward during this musibah and grant me something is better than in the future. When she said, and who is better than Abu Salama? How can I possibly remarry somebody who is better than Abu Salama? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted that she would have a husband better than Abu Salama, and that was our dear beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Salama, as we know, she was the last of the wives to pass away. She passed away in the year 61 of the Hijrah, and has a number of famous advices that were given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life. So whatever matter, my dear brothers and sisters, that we may be afflicted with, a trial or a calamity, we make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we belong to Allah and to Him we will return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. and that we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to be rewarded for that test, and that we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He grants us something better in the future. Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala knows and that you do not know. I ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He allows us to be steadfast during all tests, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grants us something that is better in the future. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.